Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. So this evening we're going to veer back in the direction of body contemplation in the first part of the Satipatthana. I'm going to be doing a reading from a book that we don't actually have, but we have the PDF. I've printed out a copy of it. It's Tanjaukun Upali, The Natural Character of Awakening, translated by Ajahn Hasapanyo recently. And we don't yet have any actual copies of it, but this talk is called The Method of Developing Calm, page 30. When the assembly of followers of the Buddha have studied, investigated, reflected on, and understood the going to the Triple Refuge by the method that has been explained, and they want to have unshakable faith, they should further study the methods of calm and insight. The author of the Visuddhimagga has presented 40 ways of developing calm, with the Kasina meditations, for example. The Buddha's assembly of followers have thus heard, listened to, and understood a lot already. I will present a summary, just enough to be what I feel is worthwhile, because I have seen that a lot of information tends to confuse people. If you only do a single thing, but you are true in doing it, the result is bound to arise because calm has singleness of preoccupation as its primary characteristic. But singleness of preoccupation has two forms, having a single preoccupation and having one's preoccupation come together in a singularity. For the worthwhile practice of calm, I just want you to do Satipatthana. In the Satipatthana verses, it points out that Ekayano bhikkhave ayang mago. For example, and in the Buddha's concern for others, the ancient teachers have held that this teaching up as a compassion of the highest distinction that can arise in a person's resolve. And that Pali phrase means something to the extent of this teaching leads in only one direction. Sometimes translated as this, there is this one way to liberation, but also explained as this teaching heads in only one direction, that of freedom, liberation. This compares to when a Brahma came to substantiate this point of the Buddha's concern. He bound up his words in verse so that it could be easily remembered. Ekayanang jati kayanta dasi. Magang pajanati hita nukampi etena magena taringsupube tarisare cheva taranti chogang. This means that the path of purification, the end of becoming, the end of birth, the crossing of the flood, for all beings is only this single path of Satipatthana. Anyone who has crossed over in the past, or anyone who is crossing over in the present, is crossing the flood by just this single path of Satipatthana. Thus, in many other places, there is heavy praise of this Satipatthana. At the end of the greater Satipatthana discourse, it points out the benefits. Someone who develops Satipatthana for as long as 7 days, or 7 months, or 7 years, is bound to achieve success in awakening. It describes how the Buddha inclined his mind towards the four Satipatthana until the seven factors of awakening arose and came to growth. When you see that praise for Satipatthana is pointed out in so many ways, you should have confidence that what you hear could be true. The Buddha is like a great physician who is able to draw out the arrow, which is the arrow of doubt, from the world. I will give you a simile to illustrate the problem. We had a serious disease arise, and we have experienced pain and frustration for many years. We have taken a lot of medicine already, and the symptoms were the same or only increasing. Afterwards, we met a specialist doctor of this of renown. He told us, "I had this disease myself before. I took this particular medicine and my disease was cured. I have also given this medicine to others with the same disease, and after taking it, they were cured. Lots of people, hundreds and thousands. If you regularly take this medicine, you will be cured in 7 days. If the disease has spread deeply into the brain, then taking the medicine for 7 months or 7 years is bound to cure you for sure. When it is like this, should we follow the doctor's orders or not?" Satipatthana translates as the place for establishing recollection. Sati means recollection. Recollecting at the body is called kayanupassana. Recollecting at sensation is called vedananupassana. Recollecting at the mind is called chittanupassana. Recollecting at Dhamma is called dhammanupassana. Recollecting other things apart from this is not counted as satipatthana. In the various things that have come to us, the way satipatthana is usually presented tends to be kaye kaya nupasi, vedanasu vedananupasi, chitte chittanupasi, dhammesu dhammanupasi. A person should be thus inclined to see the body in the body, see sensation in all sensations, see mind in mind, and see Dhamma in all Dhammas. If we were to categorize the external body and the internal body, external sensation and internal sensation, external mind and internal mind, external Dhamma and internal Dhamma, this would be burdensome, and I'm afraid it would just complicate things for practitioners. I will point out just enough to see the difficulty. The word body means comprehensively every kind of body. Because of that, we can correctly point out the bodies of other people as the external body and our own body as the internal body. We can correctly point to the entire body comprising every part of its form as the external body and point to the particulars of the body, such as the breath or the parts of the body like head hair and body hair, as the internal body. We can correctly take outer form, that is, the four great properties of form, earth, water, fire, and wind, as the external body, and the form that we depend on, appropriated form, as the internal body. Or we can correctly take the entire mass of form, that is, comprehensively every aspect of our own body and the bodies of others, as the external body, and the body existing within the heart, whether it's ours or other people's, which we can still see when we close our eyes, that's the internal body. As for sensations, the mind and Dhamma, they have different aspects in exactly the same way. We can therefore see that it is too difficult and intimidating, leading to confusion and doubt. Let us take the entire body, that is, every part of the material body from the soles of the feet on up and from the top of the head on down, and call it the external body. When the son or daughter of a good family looks and investigates into the external body in every way until they understand its characteristics, aspects, modes, colors, and shapes clearly in the heart, that form will come in and establish itself in the heart. When we want to focus our attention on the material body, we don't have to focus anywhere else. We just look right at the heart, and we are able to see the material body in every way. Even if we close our eyes, we can still see this material body in every way, because it is internal material form. Contemplating and seeing the material body that dwells in the heart in this way can be called seeing the internal body. In the words kaye kaya nupasi, someone who thus inclines towards this will see the body in the body. As for external sensation, this means sensation that arises from sense contact as a cause. For pleasure, pain, or equanimity to arise, this depends on three causal factors: the mind, the eye, ear, nose, tongue, or body, and sight, sound, aroma, flavor, or tactile object. When they come together, this is called sense contact. Thus, all pleasure, pain, and equanimity arising from sense contact is called external sensation. When every kind of external sensation naturally enters into the heart, you don't have to rely on external sensations When you focus at the heart, you can see every kind of sensation existing thus in the heart. This can be called internal sensation. In the words vedanasu vedananupasi, someone who thus inclines towards this will see sensation in sensation. As for external mind, this means the mind that knows according to its objects, that is, knowing the entire body with its head hair, body hair, nails, teeth, and skin, for example, or knowing the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind, or knowing everything outside, sights, sounds, aromas, flavors, tactile objects, and ideas, for example, or knowing every kind of sensation that arises from these. This is called external mind. The knowledge of all these things in every way naturally comes in and establishes itself in the mind, that is, as reckoning and thought. When you focus exclusively on the mind, you will see every mode of the mind come together right in the mind, simply knowing reckoning, knowing thought. This can be called internal mind. In the words chitte chittanupasi, someone who thus inclines towards this will see mind in mind. As for external dhamma, in the three foregoing recollections, you have one material dhamma in the form of kaya nupasana and two sentient dhammas in the forms of vedana nupasana and chitta nupasana, which are considered external sentient dhammas, because the body, sensation, and mind here are still coarse in form. They are therefore called external dhamma. When external dhammas in every way naturally come together, entering the heart, coarseness completely disappears. What remains is bound to be refined, just the substance of normality. This can be called internal dhamma. In the words dhammesu dhamma nupasi, someone who thus inclines towards this will see dhamma in dhamma. This presentation of the four satipatthana, making it into four separate aspects, is still a roundabout path that flies a long way from the actual truth, because recollection is one, and dhamma presides over it. As for mind, it is mind. Sensation is a mental characteristic. The body is form. Mind, mental characteristics, and form radiate forth from dhamma, which presides over them. Because of that, whenever recollection is established in the body, sensation and mind will also be established in the body. When the external body, which is coarse, disappears, only the refined internal body is bound to remain. When the features of hot and cold, hard and soft, appear, this can be considered sensation. Whenever recollection is established in sensation, the mind, sensation, and the refined body will also be established in sensation. Because of that, we can't yet consider vedana nupasana to be exclusively formless meditation, but we shouldn't really say it is exclusively meditation based on form either. With the subtle subjective body still appearing, even though it is exceedingly refined, it should be called the emerging mind of formless meditation. When the subtle subjective body disappears, only the mind is bound to remain, that is, knowing reckoning, knowing thought. When recollection is established in the mind, with form having completely disappeared and not manifesting at all, this can be considered true formless meditation. At that point, refined form, on account of the body and sensation, is bound to continue to be there, but it just doesn't manifest itself. For this reason, you don't count it as a meditation based on form. When the external mind, due to sensation, completely disappears, only dhamma is bound to remain. When recollection established in dhamma, that is, established in the original chief, this is called dhamma nupasana. This still counts as formless meditation because sentient dhamma of a refined nature will appear. When you get to this point, dhamma nupasana, in the way presented here, it should be considered uttana gamini vipassana, insight rising to its feet, or the emerging mind, because it is the factor of right recollection already. As for what you should count as the true satipatthana, in the first two recollections, that is, recollection of the body and recollection of sensation, the modes of recollection that bring you to see the external body, the internal body, external sensation, and internal sensation in just these, you should consider them satipatthana. Because you see them in their natural state of normality, this should be counted as the substance of true adisila, higher virtue. When you get to recollection of mind, the manifest objects of the mind settle down together in one place. This is therefore called sati-sambhojanga, recollection as a factor of awakening, because the objects of mind come together, which is the cause that enables realization. This should be counted as the substance of true adi-citta, higher mind. When you get to recollection of Dhamma, it counts as sama-sati-magga-samadhi, right recollection in path concentration, the substance of straight adi-panya, higher discernment. Presenting satipatthana in this method, some listeners might be bewildered and not understand. That lack of understanding is because of one's original view that satipatthana has four aspects, four categories, four entities. What has been presented here doesn't interpret it in that way. The meaning here is that Dhamma, mind, sensation, and body are one, one entity. Dhamma is the presiding chief which radiates out and becomes mind, sensation, and body, the substance of fabrications. He's also, the way he's presenting Dhamma there is with a capital D, not with a lowercase d. Simply because they are fabricated, they can cease. But it's not like they are going to cease in one place or another. When the body ceases, there is sensation. When sensation ceases, there is mind. When mind ceases, there is Dhamma. When there is Dhamma, there is no mode of cessation because this is the substance of the unfabricated. Dhamma has a singular nature. Only fabrications can cease, in accordance with the Buddha's words, Sabbe sankhara anicca, sabbe sankhara dukkha, sabbe dhamma anatta. Fabrications and Dhamma are not self. This also accords with the saying, Yad anicchang tang dukkang, yang dukkang tang anatta. Whatever is impermanent is dukkha. Whatever is dukkha is not self. You should see the unfabricated in any other place as not self as well. But in this Dhamma Nupassana, the three characteristics are taking us only to the emerging mind because it, the act of recollection, is still fabricated. When the emerging mind presents itself as not self, that's the end of the story for the three characteristics. From then on, it is the true unfabricated state, Atta Dipa, Atta Sarana, Dhamma Dipa, Dhamma Sarana, are all Dhamma Titti. That's the self is the island or a refuge to oneself. The Dhamma Dipa, the island of Dhamma, Dhamma Sarana, the refuge of Dhamma. Following the necessity of Dhamma, it has gone to the unborn, unaging, unafflicted, undying freedom from danger. This accords with the words, Tesang wu pasamo sukho. That's their passing away. The passing away of sankharas is the highest happiness. With this brief summary, I have presented a breakdown of satipatthana, enough to serve as a map or a geography of the terrain for the sons and daughters of good families who wish to continue their studies. Now I will present the method for developing satipatthana as a path of practice for sons and daughters of good families who want the true end of suffering. When you have encountered this book, you can investigate and practice accordingly, and when your accumulated natural character becomes fearless, you will be able to realize a breakthrough to Dhamma and cross the flood following the Buddha's words. When the son or daughter of a good family, someone with faith, wishes to develop calm in the way of satipatthana, that is, to train in the practice of recollection, they have to promote a balance of heroic effort, patience, integrity, and resolve. They should make a resolve determining in their heart that, I will practice recollection. That is, knowing right at the body and the mind, looking at and investigating the entire body, namely its 32 parts, head hair, body hair, nails, teeth, skin, flesh, tendons, bones, bone marrow, appendix, heart, liver, diaphragm, kidneys, lungs, intestines, bowels, vomit, stool, bile, phlegm, lymph, blood, sweat, fat, tears, grease, saliva, mucus, spinal fluid, urine, and brain. Understanding the locations, odors, colors, shapes, modes, and characteristics of the parts. This thing established here has this particular odor and color, is shaped long or short, big or small like this. The modes and characteristics of this part are different from that part in this way. And so on. When you investigate to the point of clarity, you should turn your awareness to the heart. Whether sitting, lying down, standing or walking, doing any activity, seeing any object, don't let go of knowing at the heart. Have your awareness on the heart continuously. Focus inwardly on the heart. Don't withdraw for the sake of your eyes. It'll give rise to external absorption, which we don't want. Make the heart know just the heart and the body continuously. Bring it to completion with heroic effort, patience, integrity, and resolve. Whatever you know, whatever you see, don't be delighted. Just keep knowing right at the heart and the body. If you want a meditation phrase to repeat, then think, the heart stays with the heart stays with the body. Do this continually. When it rises to the level of satipatthana, you will know for yourself. I've presented this method for practicing recollection with just this much. Rely on faith with the goal of knowing truth as your motivation. Don't be skeptical. It's bound to be everything you hope it will be. Any questions, comments? I like this particular presentation of the four satipatthana being connected as one rather than four separate practices.
So it's also, appreciate how he brings up all the scholarly stuff. He knows it, but you can tell he's telling it, but he doesn't have total faith in it. Mm-hmm. It's just, this is what the scholars say, and then, see.
And then this is my experience.
Yeah.
Tanchagun Upali is a contemporary of Tanajan Man. I believe they were friends, before they ordained.
Yeah, they have a close friendship.
Close friendship.
They're both Ubon boys. Ubon boys make good. But he, as he is Jokun, so he was a. He was an accomplished scholar. And he was. He spent most of his. Later monastic, all his monastic life in Bangkok, because he had to go to complete his studies in Bangkok, and then ended up in the kind of the Sangha hierarchy, given duties, responsibilities, and performed them diligently, but he was always going off and practicing in the forest, or going up on Tudong and disappearing from time to time, and leaving his duties behind. And then Ajahn Mun would always stop by and visit him, spend time with him in his monastery in Bangkok. His monastery in Bangkok is now sort of, that's the monastery that's between Siam Paragon and Central World, which are like the biggest shopping centers, and like Siam Paragon is like nothing I've ever seen in my life. I went in one, and it's just very high end. get some serious shopping done now. And then there's this forest monastery in the middle of it, because it used to be way out of the city.
Satu kalantaka masis.